Well, good morning, everybody. You all look extra rested today. Did anybody here not like the extra hour of sleep? Everybody loved that extra hour of sleep. I actually had a handful of children in first service say they did not like it, and their parents were probably like, oh, I missed out on that extra hour of sleep because my kids got up. I think daylight savings time was probably invented by that guy who was always late to work, but I'll take it. It was a wonderful extra hour of sleep last night. If we have not met yet, or if you don't know who I am, my name is Chris Kendall. I'm the pastor here at Concord Church, and if you're visiting here with us today, I'd just like to say a special thank you for being a part of our worship service today. And November is upon us, and when we think of November, we think of a lot of different things. We think about fall winding down, and of course this week it's going to be wonderful weather, but we think of, you know, fall kind of ending, and winter is upon us, Christmas is coming. A lot of people, when they think of Thanksgiving, they think of deer hunting and all the things outside. But, you know, one of the things I think most people connect with November is Thanksgiving. You know, it's that special day where we get to gather together and celebrate around food and family and friends. And the older I get, the more and more Thanksgiving becomes my favorite holiday. Because it really is. Like, there is no guilt in eating too much on Thanksgiving. Kind of like we're given a hall pass, you know. It's like this one day, man, you can just wear the stretchy pants and you can eat as much as you like and nobody says anything about it. Thanksgiving is also about thanks. It's about being thankful for what we have. On the first day of November, my wife started posting things on Facebook that she is thankful for and is going to be doing it for the next 30 days. And, you know, her first day was me, so I was kind of like, oh, I guess I have to do it now too. You know, that would not be good in the Kendall household if I didn't say, yes, my wife is the thing I'm thankful for on that day. But you're kind of joking about that. But I did decide to imitate my wife and think about the things that I am thankful for. And something really, I think, really peculiar, really interesting has happened is that I become excited about thinking about these things. I'm sure I've thought about them before, these things that I'm thankful for, but I'm on the lookout for them now. I'm seeing them in more places, in more circumstances. Now, I'm sure I was thankful for these things before, but I think I was just going through the motions, and now I'm really searching them out. You know, gratitude or thankfulness, it comes easily when things are going well, but how do we handle being thankful, or how do we have a thankful spirit when things are rough, during the hard or lean times? You know, during the next couple of weeks, the next 4 weeks, we're going to be examining how Scripture intersects with gratitude, and it shows us the importance of being able to thank God regardless of whatever season of life, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. So our scripture today is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And here's our scripture today. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, a lot of you know that I'm an avid bicycle rider. I love to ride my bike, and I really like it when Jan and Sophia are able to go on those rides with me. I may not be able to go as far or as fast when they're with me, but it really is, those are my favorite rides because my two favorite people are with me. And sometimes when you're out on a bike trail, you will come across these barriers, and often they're near a road, a trailhead, and so there are these big posts that will be right in the middle of the bike path, and so you have to go through them, right? And so I remember telling Sophia when she was just learning to ride the bike, and we would go on these bike trails, and we would come across these things, because who wants to get off your bike and walk through the barrier? You know, we want to ride, be able to ride through the barrier. And I told her the secret to riding through without having to get off your bike when you come to these barriers is that you don't look at the obstacle, right? You don't look at those big yellow posts that are in the middle of the bike trail. You look where you want to go. You know, you will definitely, whatever you are looking at is where your bike is going to go. And so look for the path. Keep your eyes on where you want to go. And so to be a person who regularly experiences gratitude requires mindfulness and it requires habits. You know, thanking through it, whatever the it may be, you know, whatever you are going through, the good or the bad, being able to thank through it is a choice. You know, what are you going to keep your eyes on? What are you going to focus on? Now, Paul literally is giving us directions on how to do this when he wrote these words. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. And so direction number one, rejoice always. You know, keep your focus up. You know, if we're going to be able to thank through it, we need to make sure that we keep our focus not on it, but on Jesus. You know, rejoicing helps us to do that. It takes the focus off of our problems, and it puts our focus back on our provider. Now, in case you haven't noticed, if you didn't know, I wear glasses. Now, I know it's a surprise to everybody. But I've worn glasses for a very long time, and in fact, the glasses I'm wearing now, I've graduated to that bifocal stage. I didn't want to get bifocals, because to me, bifocals meant you're old. But I remember what it was like not having bifocals. You know, driving was problematic because I couldn't see the dashboard. I couldn't see how fast I was going, because everything was blurry right here. And eating, it always would be taking off my glasses, because if you're wearing glasses and you need bifocals, everything here is blurry. And so it's like, are you eating a green bean, or are you eating mashed potatoes, or are you eating turkey? You don't know. You can't enjoy the meal the way that you should. And so bifocals help with that. It makes sure that everything is clear. Praise has a way of acting like bifocals for us. It keeps what is necessary and needed and important in focus. You know, it keeps the things that we don't need to see in a blur, but it keeps the important things in focus. And when our eyes are lifted to heaven, we're not going to be focused on our problems. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author writes, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." You know, when we focus on Jesus, and not the problems, not the issues, but when we focus on Jesus, we're able to see the path. We're able to run with perseverance. You know, lift your eyes to him in worship, because this is step number one in order to be able to thank through it. Now, direction number two, Paul says, is to pray continually, that you need to keep your focus down. You know, prayer and gratitude go hand in hand, because prayer connects the person who is praying with the giver of every good gift. And prayer is a conversation between us and God, which means that it's participatory. We make petitions, we ask God for things, and we also offer adoration and praise. But there are also those silent times when we pray, times of listening, simply being present with God. Like rejoicing, prayer takes the focus off of ourselves and our problems and helps us to focus on Jesus. When our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, all we can do is see him. You know, my grandfather passed away in 1993. He was a wonderful grandfather. He loved me and was always happy to see me. It was always a good time at Grandpa's house because we got away with murder. You know, they were good grandparents. My grandmother had passed away the year before. She passed away in August of 1992. Grandpa died in 1993 in August. In that last year, as he was dying of cancer, his pastor would come and see him and visit him. His pastor is a name that's kind of familiar to a lot of folks at Concord, Jeff Greenway. Jeff was Harold Greenway's son, is Harold Greenway's son, the pastor here at Concord from 1962 to 1967. And Jeff had shared this story at Grandpa's funeral, and I've heard him share it at other times as well. But whenever he would go and visit with Grandpa, that he was always humbled by the fact that when it came time for prayer, you know, usually a pastoral visit ends with a time of prayer, that Grandpa would get down on his knees to pray. Jeff, you know, he's young, he's healthy, he's whole. He said, this, you know, 73-year-old man who was dying of cancer, he'd hear him rustle and get down on his knees whenever they talked to God, whenever they prayed together. Yeah, it's a story I've carried with me for a very long time, and it's a story I'll probably never forget. And it's one of the reasons why we run to the altar when we pray, when there's, you know, we've got these problems that are surrounding us. We've got pain and cancer and death. And we have trouble focusing upon what is important. And we know we need to come and kneel at the feet of God. Because when we go down, when we get down, when we kneel before God, this is an act of humility. It's recognizing that we are in the presence of something greater than ourselves. It's like Moses taking off his shoes as he was standing on holy ground. When we feel that ourselves surrounded by our problems, we kneel at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, there's a story about a woman who had a serious health issue, and we're told in the scripture in Luke 8 that she had a serious medical condition. She had been bleeding for 12 years. And that in itself would simply be awful, but to make matters worse, in Jewish culture, to be bleeding like this meant that you were unclean. You would be ritually and ceremonially unclean, and that meant you couldn't worship, you couldn't offer sacrifices. You couldn't be around people, because to be unclean meant that you could make your uncleanness go off on someone else. And so those clean people would want to stay away from you. Don't know if she was married or had children, or I'm sure she had family and friends, but they would have to isolate themselves away from her because they did not want to become unclean. So in Luke chapter 8, it says, she came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. And I always have had this mental image of her kind of sneaking through the crowd on her hands and knees. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. And in the presence of all of these people, she told why she had touched him and that she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You know, you want to be able to think through it. You want to be able to think through the issues of life. Then we keep our focus down. Right? We kneel at the feet of Jesus, and those issues become quiet. Then we have direction number 3. Paul says to give thanks. He says to keep your focus out. This may be the biggest challenge of the three, because there are moments in our lives where giving thanks or being grateful is not the natural response. In fact, it almost can seem counterintuitive. An example of giving thanks when it would be completely counterintuitive is found in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is in the upper room. He's literally hours away from being arrested and beaten and ultimately crucified. And it's in that context that scripture says that Jesus took up the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This, or drink of this, all of you, this is the blood of my covenant, which had been poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus was able to give thanks in that moment because what he was doing was for us. He was being obedient to the Father and was able to keep his focus outward by giving thanks in the midst of his circumstances. And if you are rejoicing on a regular basis and praying as much as you can, then gratitude will follow. And God desires the best for his children. He knows that if our minds are focused on the goodness of God and the gifts that he gives, then our lives will be fundamentally different in positive ways. And God wants us to rejoice and pray and be thankful. And as we seek to understand God's will for our lives, we need to start with this passage. We need to start with these simple instructions. And you want to learn the secret of being able to thank through it, then remember these directions. Up, down, and out. Keep your eyes up, keep your focus up by rejoicing always. Keep your focus down by praying continually. And keep your focus out by giving thanks. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray for your help, Lord, as we seek to imitate you. Lord, help us to be able to thank through it. Help us to be able to thank and be grateful, regardless of our circumstances. Because again, dear God, we know that when everything else fails, you do not. You remain who you are. And so, Jesus, we come to you. And it's in your name, O Savior, that we pray. Amen.